Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The virus, Shanghai, lockdown, 26 million people or more. Locked down because I welcome Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek and The Hill, and our colleague Andrew Collier of Orient Capital Research in Hong Kong to observe the strange disconnect between some facts and others about the Shanghai lockdown, which inarguably is an aspect of worldwide slowdown. The supply chain, Shanghai is a critical node in the global understanding of recovery. I read from the London Telegraph reporting in these last days. Authorities in China have reported more than 443,000 cases since March 1st and only 2 deaths, both in the northeastern province of Jilin. No fatalities have been recorded in Shanghai, despite the city of 26 million reporting more than 20,000 daily cases for almost 2 weeks. Several Shanghai residents have also told the Financial Times, London paper, that their relatives died after testing positive for COVID-19. These facts, Gordon, I could say, don't add up to one particular version of Shanghai. Is that a fair summary, Gordon?
That's a fair summary, John, because most people do think that there have been deaths from COVID-19 in Shanghai and elsewhere. But this is intensely political, and so therefore the reporting is going to be politicized. And that's the reason why we're getting reports of a lot of asymptomatic cases and no deaths.
Andrew, a very good day to you in Hong Kong. Your excellent analysis of the Shanghai lockdown contributes more observations about these disjunctive data that we're getting. Do we have one or two or three explanations for the mismatch? Good evening to you. Good day to you.
Well, to give some credit to China, they actually have a confusing way of recording deaths historically. So if you've got cancer or some other comorbidity, then they won't necessarily call that a COVID death. And that actually predates COVID. So all I could say is the picture is very confusing. But certainly from the U.S. point of view, we would have chalked up a lot more deaths than Shanghai is showing. And as Gordon just said, clearly there's a lot of political stuff going on where Xi Jinping has made it clear that cities really should not be recording a lot of deaths and they should not be letting COVID spread. So Shanghai's responding to that.
Gordon, you have a question for Andy.
Andy, in your excellent research note, you point to some factors showing soft consumption. And I thought that the point about theater going was really important because that is a discretionary activity. And that really shows the direction of what the Chinese people are doing. If you can expound a little bit on that.
Yes. Well, I got some data about how many theaters have been open. And basically, things were going along pretty well, about 10% below 2019 levels up until around mid-March. And then it fell off a cliff. And the last that I checked, which is about a week and a half ago, was the latest data we have. It was down about 40%. So the lockdowns are having a huge impact on people's ability to go out and go to restaurants and go to cinemas.
You write that the hospital availability is a major concern. We're looking for explanations for this data that doesn't add up. What about their hospitals? This is a big city, Shanghai. Do they not have adequate hospitals for the population?
Well, one of the reasons that people are guessing that Xi Jinping has gotten down this really, really harsh road of no COVID cases is because he's worried about the hospital capacity across the country getting overrun with people dying with COVID, which would call into question the effectiveness of the Communist Party's ability to govern its people and protect them from health. We don't really know if that's the case, but that's one suspicion. And the rural areas in particular are under, very little money is spent on healthcare in the rural areas. And even in places like Shanghai, which we know is one of the wealthiest cities in China, does not have adequate facilities for hospitalization if they're overrun. So that may be one reason.
Let me tick off what is not adequate. There's not adequate hospitalization, as you've just said. There's not adequate vaccination rate, you write in your paper. The question about the vaccine to begin with, Sinovac or Sinopharm, is it effective against the Omicron variant that is now present in several iterations? And then again, there's the reporting, which is unbelievable, so that the Chinese people themselves, the people in Hong Kong, have no sense of where they are in this continuum. They're locked up. There's a lack of food security, and no one knows who's keeping score. Is that all correct, Andy?
Well, that's accurate. I mean, you're referring to Shanghai, and it is true that and the real issue is that people in Shanghai are starting to protest quite loudly. They were clapping and shouting off the rooftops in a form of active protest, and they're posting lots of videos, which is unusual in China. You don't see that kind of mass protest. And Shanghai is always been known as very separate from Beijing, and in times oppositional to Beijing. Jiang Zemin, the former leader, came from there, and there's all these talk about the faction, the Jiang Zemin faction in Shanghai, although we really don't know if it's true. So that must be very worrisome to Beijing. But you notice that Xi Jinping and other people in Beijing are staying really clear of Shanghai. They're trying to blame all these problems on local governments because they don't know what to do with it.
Gordon, you have a question.
Yeah, Andy, you mentioned in your paper that the central government is giving authority to localities, municipalities to deal with COVID-19. Is this actually helping the response, or is this just blame shifting?
Well, that's a good question. I think it's both. I think that's in classic Chinese style. There's a real reason for the policy, and there's politics for the policy. Certainly, if localities can do selective lockdowns and basically try to deal with whatever COVID they have in certain regions, that could be more effective and hopefully keep the economy humming along. On the other hand, it also, as you pointed out, it's a political thing where Beijing can say, well, gee, it's your problem. If you fail, then that's your, we're going to blame this on you, not on us.
Omicron is highly contagious. Highly, highly. Can I emphasize enough? Omicron BA2 is even more contagious. And there's a new one on the scene, at least the talk of a new one, that's even more contagious. So the idea that Shanghai alone has this problem, but let's explore Shanghai party politics. In your paper, you say that could be a driver. What about it?
Well, basically, the Communist Party in Shanghai are appointed by Beijing, the senior leaders. If you want to get promoted into some higher level office, you've got to demonstrate your loyalty. And if Xi Jinping says, you know, we're going to lock down if you have COVID, we're doing a zero COVID or dynamic zero, as they call it now, then the party people in Shanghai are going to obey that. However, the officials who don't expect to get promoted know that they're under the hot seat because all the people in Shanghai are livid. You know, you get into some facility where the lights are on 24 hours a day and you're there for 3 weeks and finally you test negative and it takes them 6 days to release you. That would make anybody pretty angry. And that's what the local officials are faced with.
And so are they dealing with this rhetorically now, or are they dealing with it in terms of policy? In other words, local control, does that just make everything better? We blame the locals in Shanghai if their mistakes, and we're not, it's actually wash our hands time in Beijing.
Nobody knows what to do. Local governments don't know what to do. Xi Jinping and Beijing don't know what to do. And I, as a person in Hong Kong, where we had almost zero cases for a year and a half, and then we went to 5.5 million cases in the space of a month, I got to see how that worked in real time. And certainly we now are living with COVID because, you know, 70% of the population has had it, basically. So China is in the same position, and it's quite possible that they're going to end up living with COVID, but without actually arranging that.
Gordon?
So, Andy, you're in Hong Kong. Has Hong Kong reached herd immunity? And what is the situation there now?
Well, there's a lot of debate about what herd immunity means, but certainly if you have 5.5 million cases out of 8 million, and that's an estimate by University of Hong Kong, not the official data from the government, then that means your chances of getting COVID are much lower. Your R factor is quite low. And so now, you know, we're starting to go out. As of April 21, the chief executive has finally decided to reopen restaurants and four people can sit at a table instead of two. I went out to dinner on Friday and I couldn't sit with my two other friends. So they're at the point where they're realizing that the spread is going to be quite limited because most people have had it.
And the economy, does Beijing now respond to the fall off in the economy by claiming that COVID is solved? In other words, are they going to go from zero COVID to it's solved in order to revive that GDP?
You know, Gordon, I don't know what they're going to do, and I don't think they know what they're going to do. I mean, they're now in a position, a tipping point, where they could be going from zero to, you know, tens of millions of cases. And now they're hoping that they can do selective lockdowns, meaning that, you know, people can go back to the cinemas in certain neighborhoods, basically. Is this going to be effective? I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, they're calling this new wave Deltacrom, is what an epidemiologist told me last night. You know, so you now are in a situation where they're experimenting and they are hoping it'll work out and then keep the economy humming. But, you know, a lot of people are very worried.
Andrew Collier, the managing director of Orient Capital Research in Hong Kong, observing Shanghai. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.